A grandmother is walking through the mall, pushing her grandchild in a stroller. She runs across a friend, another grandmother, and the second lady comments on how cute the baby is. And the first grandmother says, "Oh, but you ought to see her photos." You know, I remember visiting Italy with my wife on our 30th anniversary, and we were seeing a lot, and suddenly it dawned on me how many pictures I was taking. Way too many. And I think this is very normal to try and capture all of this. It's good to be aware that we can easily get caught up in symbols and representations and miss out on being present to the real moment. We can be so busy collecting souvenirs of our trip that we can forget to look at the mountains or smell the salt in the sea air, feel the bite of the cold or the snow on a mountaintop, or the tingling of the sun on our skin. We can be too busy to see the child in the stroller and to hear it giggle and coo, maybe touch its soft skin, and too busy to pause and experience that which is real and present to us. In our gospel, Jesus is ready to begin his ministry. The presence of God on earth is made clear as Jesus is baptized and God says, "You are my beloved Son." God walks among his people. And yet it's not long before the people are looking for souvenirs, miracles, signs, fulfilled expectations. So much do many want the proof of divinity that the reality of God is overlooked. These scenes unfold in the Gospels, and we can find ourselves over time saying, "Gee, God is right there with them. If only they'd seen." And we wonder. But this same thing can happen to us as well. We can focus so much and so long on the representations of our faith that the reality of it can be overlooked. And we can begin to live our lives around the representations rather than around the truth. There's something that can come upon us very subtly in this, and the imperfect human psyche can quite easily adapt to it, because our representations and our souvenirs, our symbols, they can be easily contained, oftentimes held in our hand, controlled. They can become very convenient. They can be made present to us when we feel it is necessary, rather than when things are real and God feels it's necessary. Consider this. Ask our children, "Where does God live?" Now, the majority will give one of two answers. Some will say, "Church. God lives in church." It seems like such an obvious thing to kids. We teach them this. This is where all our symbols are, our sacraments, our music, our holy water, our relics, our statues, our prayers. This is where we come to meet God once a week, or perhaps on school days. This is where we come for holy things like sacraments. This is where we come to pray. So this must be where God lives. And if we don't want to see God, well, we just don't come. We can keep God right where we want God, in a box called church. Now, the second answer that some of the kids will give is heaven. God is in heaven. That's where God lives. When we pray, our fingers point up to heaven. Our prayers are carried to God in heaven by the angels. We teach them, our children, to live good lives here on earth so that we can go to be with God in heaven when we die. And God is watching, right? God is watching. From where? From heaven. Heaven, of course. So once again, we keep God right where we want God, in heaven, a box called heaven. What's happening in all this? Are we settling for a faith culture where God is merely represented? We have souvenirs of God, and contentment sets in. Where does God live? Really, where does God live? There are children who know the answer to this question. And truth be told, every adult here knows the answer as well. Move the souvenirs out of the way, and we all know that God lives inside us, each of us, all of us. God is surely present here, make no mistake. God is present. He's in the tabernacle right now, the consecrated host. The physical presence of God come to be our food. God is here. But when we repose the host and we close those tabernacle doors and we go out the door, where does God live? God lives in us. It's Jesus' promise to us. But we can unwittingly content ourselves with less. And this is so dangerous to the integrity of who and what we are. We can have a cross around our neck, a miraculous medal, or a scapula. We can have a picture of the Sacred Heart in the car, a rosary hanging from the mirror, rearview mirror. We can have holy water in our bedroom. We can send our kids to Catholic schools. We can go to church. We can turn the envelope in. But where does God live? Beneath the cross on our neck, there needs to be a heart filled with God. We are the living, breathing, dwelling place of God most high in the universe. And souvenirs will not do. They will not sustain us. We need the real thing before the rest can have meaning. We are a people of God, children of God, and God resides with us. Why would we settle for less? When Jesus was baptized, not only did the Father say, "You are my Son," but he also said, "I am pleased with you." Now, what is so pleasing about Jesus to the Father? Well, certainly a lot, more than we can grasp. But one big thing that pleases God the Father is that when Jesus comes to earth, he doesn't leave his Father in heaven. He doesn't treat heaven like a box with a lid on it that he can close and leave God there until he needs him for a miracle or for some inspiration. Nor does Jesus treat God as someone separate from himself. He remains intimate in union with the Father. Love is alive between them. And Jesus does the will of the Father. Everywhere Jesus is, the Father is. Everything Jesus does and says has the Father in it. That's why St. John can say, "The love of God is this, that we keep his commandments." We keep God in it. So how do we make certain that the sacramentals and the symbols and signs of our faith don't fall to the level of souvenirs of something once visited? Well, we do it by doing what Jesus did. We keep the Father in all things. We let the Father guide our thoughts, our speech, and our actions everywhere and at all times. We ask his will in all things. Then every time we sign the cross, we will remember that we are baptized into what God has done for us in Jesus. And every time we feel the cross or the medal around our neck, we will remember who we are in the Father and the Son. And every statue of a saint will remind us that we are in good company as brothers and sisters in Jesus. And every prayer will come from a heart filled with love for God. And every sacrament will affirm that we worship a God who can never be contained, but still chooses to be present to us in many ways and in many things. Souvenirs of God will not do. They will not satisfy. They will not save. They do, however, serve to remind us of the reality of God. They can help us to know God. They can help us to be present with God. God, whose greatest desire is to be completely present to us every moment, in every place. But what a mistake it would be to settle for souvenirs of our faith and miss God completely.